This is Moss Whelan and Story in Mind. And this episode topic is the refusal to return, and that's from Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, the Hero with a Thousand Faces, the monomyth. And so this is taking it apart, exploring it, and also subverting, turning it inside out. What happens if you don't follow the pattern, and what is the potential as far as storytelling goes? So, for example, refusing to return, it's so good. The previous stages before this stage, there are a couple really great things that have happened. There's been the apotheosis stage, this incredible vision of eternity, this experience, and then obtaining the ultimate boon, this treasure, this, you know, wonderful device or utensil or and two, something that is possessed by deities, right? So it's a big deal. I was kind of going along the path too of that, say, the adventure in obtaining this has this kind of experience of I almost say cross referencing, but say that they go, oh, it's like, you know, I'm having this experience of being this entity, this divine person, and that is how that they can say lift this thunderbolt and whatever it is that suggests this divinity, this divine status. I can remember a Greek myth where, say, I think it's say like it's sort of like, you know, here's the mount of such and such that belongs to so and so. You know, here's the winged shoes of, I think it's Hermes / Mercury, right? And here's a gift from such and such a god to assist you on your quest, on your path. And so it's along that, but also that it's the quest has been accomplished in obtaining this goal. So there's this great success. This stage of refusal makes sense, and two, it's already an upside down. It's already this negative, and to have the adventurer just agree immediately, that would be the example of subversion or inversion immediately. So, oh well, there we go. We've turned the tables. Our job is done. And rather than stick around, the adventurer is like, oh nope, I have a honorable bone in my body that is not allowing me to stay. And of course, it's not as good as the refusal, the reluctance. It's this mirror of the beginning. It's where we have the call to adventure and then the refusal of the call for whatever reason. I have to go to work tomorrow, so I can't just abandon this. Yeah. There's a cobweb in the basement that I really need to take care of. It's like, but this is, you know, this is your life. This is like the potential to shine and have a momentous experience, something to write home about. And it's like, no, not going to do it. So there's a similarity, and yet that is not enough. We have to continue, and we have to explore other avenues. I do like the internalizing of the refusal, but because it's already sort of put as such, then to remove it and almost give an example of being trapped. So rather than, oh, this is such a great place, going, yes, but it's also a prison. So it's wonderful and beautiful, but as soon as you go in, it's this trap. No wonder nobody's returned before with these items of adventure. Obviously, because of the, I was going to say, because of the difficulty. But say, the difficulty of getting out of it. Well, there's a pitcher plant. It's called the pitcher plant. And the pitcher plant, I think it's in the Amazon. And so it's this sort of like goblet-like plant. Like say the flower is like this goblet. And at the bottom of this goblet shape, there's a kind of reservoir. I want to say it's like a sticky dew or something like that, a sticky excretion. But anyways, it's a collection there. And so it's not dry. It's actually wet. And there's this liquid there. And so, you know, insects will go in. And much like the Venus flytrap, the pitcher plant is trapping insects in there. And they get... You know, they get stuck, they drown, and are consumed. It's kind of like a stomach, that part of the stomach with the acids in it that break down food. And so that's basically what it is. You know, why moss, why? It's like, well, you know, we've got to... It's succulent paradise. You know, it's wonderful. You find yourself there. Yes. You don't want to leave. But, you know, let's make it like you have to leave, right? You find yourself eroding. You shed your skin. And each time you shed your skin, like sort of every day in paradise... You're getting like a little thinner, right? And it's not pleasant, right? It's each time it happens, it's painful. Your new skin underneath hurts. It's like a sunburn all over, and you wake up and there's your skin, around you, and what is it called? Slough. You know, sloughing off your skin there, and but at the same time, you know, your skin is very nice, right? if there was a skin doctor there, they would say, he's like, oh yes, fresh skin, here, you have to take care of it. Here's some toner for your skin. So. We have this we have this adventurer who's, you know, starts, okay, I really have to leave, and starts exploring avenues. Like, so, okay, well, this is how I got in, right? How do I get out of this, you know, spiritual experience, as Joseph Campbell would have us interpret it? You know, we've gotten there, and now it's time to flee, and looking for ways to disable this transcendent experience. It's short-term transcendent experience, great stuff. Long-term, whoa, watch out, right? This thing is eating you alive. As kind of what, like, say, the Lotus Eaters. I haven't read the original, but the reference point, they had a recent nod to the Lotus Eaters. And so, if I have it correct, the Lotus Eaters is Greek reference, Greek mythology. And it showed up in a Percy Jackson, one of the Percy Jackson books. What's that? It's a it's basically, that's not fair, but I was gonna say it's inspired by Harry Potter, so there's that. Like, say there's a school, except instead of a wizardry school, magic school, it's a school for Greek demigods and demigoddesses. And we touch on this the problem of, actually we don't really touch on the problem of, say, the family situation. Like, say, as I'm sort of thinking this through, it's like, yeah, how would you describe that? Because it seems to be polyamorous, that there are, that is not quite right. My understanding is that there are these marriages. I'm trying to think though, is like, are all the deities married? Like, say, you know, Hermes / Mercury, you know, what's the relationship situation there? Yeah, so that's a question, you know, or is there, or it's like, it doesn't matter. It seems like a dangerous endeavor, but of course, when it's happening to you, you're sort of like, well, you know, this is me now. I don't really have an option. You know, I've got this interesting alternative, you know, family lifestyle thing. There's the threat from the let's see. My understanding too is like, okay, there's this polyamory going on, but also there's marriages, there's these relationship contracts. So my understanding is that this is not appreciated, these affairs and these demigods, demigoddesses, you know, don't have it incredibly easy. That there's one cosmic entity out there who's gunning for them. It's like, well, I'll send my supernatural agents to be, you know, to be the downfall of this offspring. Back on page. So we find ourselves in Lotus Land, and there's this quality of addiction in the, say, contemporary reference, but even in this older reference. And say, you know, eating, drinking, being involved in this food, that it has a drug-like quality. You're intoxicated. There's toxic right? It's a kind of poison in a sense. And two, those experiences are not guaranteed. Like, you know, say people, you'll hear things like, you know, oh, this is really great, here, try this. But in reality, it's a split. It's like, you know, you're going to have a horrible time. And two, one way of seeing it is that it's like a magnifying glass and on your emotional state. So if you're having a horrible time and you get intoxicated, and two, this would be even, say, something like even like coffee. You know, if you're having a terrible time and you have a cup of coffee, as I'm saying this, I'm going, is that exactly true? But if you know anything about, you know, coffee, I think you would agree that, like, there's a state that you don't want to have coffee in, and it's better to sort of switch to something else and have tea, or even herbal tea. Oh my gosh, boss, what are you talking about? Those are desperate times, which is sort of what I'm talking about. Anyways, so we're looking for a door out of, what is it? The doors of the perception have been blown open, right? The gates of heaven, right? You know, they have been stormed, and now it's time to get out of there and get out of there fast before you cease to exist. And again, I like that notion that sort of that state of mind, that there's this erosion happening, and the longer you stay, you know, the less you are. Okay, and two, this is just an alternate perception. You know, we don't, of course, yeah, we don't have to write. You don't have to write about. So when my characters get up to Olympia, Mount Olympus, and right, they can't stay there. It's like, no. We're just exploring options here. As I shift gears, and right, so it's the refusal of the return. And in that, there's this suggestion of return, in this kind of reflection of the beginning, where it's like there's a call to adventure. We don't really have a section called a call to return, but it's kind of implied, and I think it's built in. It's not suggested, but I think it's built in by way of the quest, right? You're being sent so that you will return. You will go get the stuff, then you will bring it back. And it's speaks to this, the character, once again, it speaks to the character's character, the adventurer's character, that they won't, that they refuse. And two, that's good, right? We're getting a flawed individual. We're not getting this amazing quality. There's a kind of critique as well of that altered state of divinity, right? Say, I remember somebody talking about someone going full guru, right? You know, they went full guru, right? It's like, oh, okay, right. That bliss was just so amazing that they just transformed and became this spiritual teacher, and sort of fully devoting themselves to this quest, this task. And two, financially, right? That they could do that. A critique. There's a critique there of that state. There's a critique of that experience. Also, too, I wonder if the adventurer gets a warning and says, you know, hey, if you're going to go and do this thing, be prepared for it, to be difficult to get out of, because it'll be so great. I'm just thinking of our own experience. Like, say, if you go, okay, well, what would that be in a mundane / earthly sense? And you're probably like, you know, the I was going to say the rock and roll lifestyle, and I was like going, oh no, it would be the hip hop lifestyle now, wouldn't it? And then I'm going to go, and I'm still saying, you know, yeah, but I still think about the hip, you know, the rock and roll lifestyle. And the sort of like the two-sided, oh wow, but at the same time going, you know, that, it takes its toll, you know. And two, there's this weird thing of, say, not taking somebody seriously, some kind of entertainer, performer, who says something like that, you know, that because we're just seeing like the byproduct, and we're seeing the photos and the admiration and fixation and but I guess that would be our own, say, version of it. That would be the example where we are looking at some kind of scenario where we're going, oh, that's fantastic. Or the weird switch around for me is thinking about places that look good. Like, you see a photo of somewhere, like a tour destination, travel destination, and for me, I keep seeing this lake somewhere in Europe, and I think it's Swiss, it might be Austria, but it's, you know, mountains, and then there's, you know, there's these chateaus, these castles overlooking this lake, and, you know, heavily manicured, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. And, you know, I go, oh yeah, that'd be great, you know, go there. And those people, they're looking at photos of Vancouver, right, during the summer. You know, I'm remembering these advertisements. I saw these advertisements. We got actually mailed. They were in the mail, and they were saying, "Go to this other place during July and August, right? July and August. Leave Vancouver. Go to Japan." It was Japan. It was Tokyo, right? It was right away. It was like, "Are you crazy?" And then it was. Is set up by people, like, say, and two, I think it was just a shotgun blast, and, you know, they're looking for people to go there, and it's and but it's the wrong place, and I'm going, well, you know, how much did they blow, how much did they spend on this? And because right away for me it was like, no, this is the best time of year to be in Vancouver. You don't want to go there. So I'm kind of reverse advertising. Is that what's going on? But the thing I'm wanting to say is that, say, the this lake in the Alps, the people that live there, right? You know, they basically, that's their normal, and they look at everywhere else as the place to go, right? And growing up in that place is just, you know, it's like, oh gosh, you know, boring. Got to go somewhere, wear something different, new, exciting. Anywhere else, oh, I'll go to Vancouver. And then it starts to rain. So along the, I'm just thinking of that as a kind of parallel of wanting to leave somewhere, and at the same time, you know, realizing that it doesn't matter where you go. And I've mentioned that a number of times. I've used an example of a writer friend from London who came here to study screenwriting. So I met them in film school, and I was fascinated because they didn't like where they were from. But you're from London, right? Going, Moss, you're from Vancouver. But Vancouver is horrible, right? On and on and on and on. It's like, no, London is horrible. Vancouver is nice. So I'm kind of flipping it around with that, like, say, maybe there could be a conversation about that, and a critique of paradise, you know, and that the people in paradise hate it, right? That it's this tour destination, but, you know, the people that live there, you know, it's like, no, you know, we don't spend, you know, we just work here. We don't like it, right? It's very tepid and lukewarm. It's like, you know, there's no change, there's no alteration, there's no seasons. It's just this one season all the time, and as I'm saying that, I'm sure that there are people that are, and two, this is not to say that it's, you know, wherever you are is horrible all the time. It's a thought. So this is, you know, playing around with notions of place. Okay. Get some shade here. So let's see. We are approaching the midpoint of this episode, and the midpoint, the false success in a three-act structure. I like that too, that say, thinking I know what it is, assuming that I've got it figured out, and ultimately not. Like, to sort of say that the description of a thing is a thing, to be talking about it, versus the experience of it. Also say the reverse. I'm just imagining somewhere claiming to be, you know, it's like paradise. So a physical versus an internal. And often that's how it's presented, is that it's a tangible thing that you could go and you could find this place. And, but you can't stay, right? Because you have to bring back this stuff, this treasure, this, what is it? The goal, the thing that you've been sent on, you know, the adventure, what the adventure is all about. And I'm looking at that as this, a mistake, and it's something even I am involved with. I think we're all involved in some way or another. Yeah, you know, even say writ very, you know, small, in our own way, to have our own piece of paradise, right? And to attain something. Like, say, even, you know, say, you know, yes, you get your place, and then what? I'm just thinking of, say, you know, owning your own place. You get your own place, and then what? Right? So it's over. It's perfect. So yeah, it's done. It's a done deal, right? It's like, well, no, because you have to take care of it. You know, your nest, and you have to fix it up, and you have to do repairs. You have to pay taxes on it, right? And, you know, on and on and on. And too, there's that question mark, right? Say, of attainment. Then do you go on? I know some people that have done that. They'll go from one place to another place to another place, and they will do renovation. And I'm kind of here. I'm merging a couple people together now. And do a reno, and I flip it, right? And I hadn't really thought about it that way before, but that's really what's going on. And turning a profit, right? So they're making money off of that, and that it's like a hobby, right? It is a hobby. But at the same time, they're... I'm going... Then, you know, but also they were still working, and you know, employment beyond this. So I guess, you know, say, just putting it away in the coffers for or was it sort of like spending, you know, bigger and better to be able to afford something that they, you know, where is it that they are headed? Is there this kind of quality of paradise, you know, the land of milk and honey? Where exactly, you know, is it that sort of sets off the flares? I can remember leaving home. I remember having, you know, many homes before I left home that, say, you know, we went from one place to another. There was renting. I didn't know about it at the time, but it was like, oh yeah, okay. So, you know, that was a rental, and then my parents owned a couple places, and shared as well. So there was sharing places. But even ultimately, having this experience of into a weird experience, say, I'll go back to my parents' place, and, you know, it's not my place, and it's not, of course, you know, I didn't pick it, and you know, I appreciate it for, you know, what it is, and it provides them with shelter, and, you know, that's it. But this as well, this is sort of, say, perception beyond that. I'm like, oh no, is this another exploration recording? So we're in the crisis now, and this episode is about this refusal to return. It's this weird sort of it's this weird kind of question of, well, the adventure must not have been that important to begin with, or the adventurer must have been flawed, right? And I guess the question is, for the reader, will the adventurer turn themselves around? Will situations sort of push them in a certain direction? And what will it take to do that? You know, what's it going to take to change, for them to change their mind? I'm kind of imagining this quality of addiction where, say, you know, you can't change the person's mind for them. You can suggest it. You could stage an intervention and say, you know, hey, we really don't like this. You know, you're having a great time apparently sedating yourself, but you know, the rest of us are not. Which makes me think of a kind of novel where somebody, you know, hasn't left in a sense. They might be still under the same roof with a family. They might be, say, in the same city, same neighborhood, traveling the same circles, and, you know, and yet not there, right? They're off doing something else. You know, that they're going through this adventure, and I'm of two minds. I sort of want to go, well, you know, distantly, it would be interesting to do a distant kind of point of view, right? Like, say, not really getting close, like a main character. And once again, finding myself talking about, yeah, we have our main character, but we're outside of them, and we're observing them going through this process. Doing a hero's adventure, doing a hero's journey, these stages, it's intriguing. Like, say, you know, having a character going through addiction, and two, it could be, you know, there's all kinds. Like, say, gambling addiction, that there's this, you know, call to adventure, but then they're struggling as they go, right? They're finding hard for them to pull themselves out and stop, right? So on one hand, looking at that, and then on another hand, really wanting to reject entirely, you know, the whole premise of the spiritual, right? That is the underpinning of Joseph Campbell's thesis, Hero's Journey. If we are turning around the stage, and two, I like the use of the word stage because it has that double meaning, like, say, the theatrical stage. But if we are turning it around and talking about not going back, I'm just imagining, okay, well, how about that, though, that we stop right here? Would others, you know, take over? Would in paradise we encounter others who had gone before us and stayed? You know, and would they be attempting to convince us to leave? you know, or would they just agree with us, right, and sort of hang out and say, oh, well, this is great, and you know, why return, why go back, you know, it's terrible. It's like, you know, I left Vancouver and went on an adventure, right, and I don't want to go home, and the people you're hanging around with are like, you know, yeah, totally, yeah, I'm from another place too. And, or, you know, where do all the people from Vancouver go, right? Finding that place. Expats, expatriates, and going and hanging out with them. Could you end a narrative at that point? You know, you achieve the goal, and then just, you know, the end, right? It's the end of the movie, and we're not going any farther. There would be a sense of completion, and I can remember seeing a movie, and it had three timelines, and we were being shown them at the same time. Not sort of, we definitely were being shown them. And Australian actor, huge act man, and there was a sort of present day, then there was I think he's a conquistador, finding, say, the tree of life. So in one, and then in the final one, it's the future, and he's in this glass bubble, eating, surviving on remnants of the tree, and heading off into space for this cosmic encounter. And there was a kind of quality of that where things, and two, there's an argument, you know, that, but I did have this feeling of, that something wasn't paid off. And it was enough just to, it was more like I was sort of, it's an experience and an experiment rather than, something that had been, you know, screen written to the nth degree you know, there was this concern for the payoff. Yeah, and two, it's something I'm going, that's another one to go back to and sort of like, hey, what was going on there? Because it was an obvious premise. It was this fountain of youth, you know, this tree that gives you mortality. It was along those lines. But it wasn't, obviously, if you have three storylines, three timelines, you're sort of going, you know, obviously, your three-act structure. And as I'm saying, I'm going, there was a beginning, middle, end. But there was this dissatisfaction, this disappointment, even though it was, like, even if it was an experiment. And there was a bunch of money dumped into it, and it was, you know, eye candy. It was visually pleasing, and there was this experience, this sort of profound moment. But as audience, I felt I'm outside of this. I don't understand what's happening. Right? It's sort of watching somebody have this transcendent experience, right? Where it's like, oh, it all makes sense now. What makes sense? could you fill in the blanks here? You know, nope. We're just gonna show you somebody going, whoa, right? And that's what it's going to be. It's like, well, okay, that's what it's going to be then. And and that's the contrast, to say, how do you, and too, I keep asking, hey, could you translate this for me? Could you explain? Like, you're not really explaining, or could you show me, or could you sort of, like, you know, it's yeah, like teaching how to fish, for example, right? Could you teach me how to fish? And yeah, because I guess the argument is that it's so great, you'll never want to leave. And I'm just thinking of a situation where right away, like, it was almost like a challenge, and right away going, oh, I'm out. That's it for me. I'm not convinced. As I'm saying this, that doesn't make sense. I'm thinking that doesn't make sense. So we have a main character, we have an adventurer, as we move into the climax, the third act of this episode, and the climax territory, building up to it. If we just acquiesce, I think it's that it defuses it, that paradise, eternity, the everlasting, however you want to define it, it loses its intensity, it loses its, you know, wow, amazing, and why would you ever leave? And too, as sort of as far as like subversion, inversion, I'm going, you know, wow, well, that's effective. You know, you just have the adventure leave, pack up and go, right? And it's almost like, say, the destruction of, in the episode before this, I had described, you know, say, obtaining the ultimate boon, as it's called, this kind of cosmic treasure, what the quest is all about, and thinking, oh, hey, well, what if you made it as there's a dilemma, right? If you take it, that will destroy the place where you're at. And once again, it's like, if you leave, there is this quality of destruction. Like, if you choose to leave, if you choose to go, and if this choice happens, then there's this quality of that it never was, right? Well, that's not paradise, because nobody can leave paradise, right? You know, and it's you know, it's impossible. Jumping to Celtic mythology, and too, it's the remnants of Celtic mythology. It's what we have left. You know, these bits and pieces and folklore of a full-on belief system, of a religion, and part of it had to do with the Celtic otherworld, right? It's a, you could say underworld, but it really seems like an otherworld where you're crossing over, and these entities live in this other place, and there's this, you know, various natural crossing thresholds, and uh, What is it? There's all these rules and regulations. Like, say, you're okay if you stay on your horse, but if you get off your horse, if you touch the ground, you're in trouble. If you eat the food, you're in trouble, right? It's this sort of long list. It's almost like, say, if there's any kind of interaction, you know, beyond being there, there's, you know, immortality. There's a draw towards it, but at the same time, there's this repulsion. There's this revulsion. Like, it's not nature. It's not natural. It's not human. And these people are living outside of the hourglass that we exist in. Oh, that's great. And then, but then you go, yeah, is it? Right? So this long list. If we subvert and if we turn this upside down, this stage of the hero's journey, that then we're doing damage to the notion, the concept of wow, this is cosmic, etc., etc., etc. It's sort of like, say, waking up, right? The day after. There's this huge party. It's amazing. And it's like so good. Even in writing, there is that, say, like, what is it? There's more to it, but it's write drunk, edit sober, and say, in a couple, like, say, you could actually intoxicate yourself and then write, that happens. There's even a quality of it with caffeine, or what have you. That's legal stuff, and there's this excitement, right? And it's like, it's really happening now. It's really happening. And yet, when you approach it with, and as I'm saying, well, what if you edit with coffee as well? But I would hope that you would, see that, say, first drafts. And it's more along those lines, is that, there's the excitement of the first draft. But then when you start editing, that's where the real work begins. And it feels like that with this adventurer, right? That they've, in a way, that they've been drunk, right? That they've, they haven't sobered up yet, and that's what it's going to take in order for them to return, is this realization, and that we're not there yet. So, in another way of looking at this stage of the journey. I had this really great, I had a really great moment for myself of imagining, it's like, a character, like a divine character. It's like, it would be like this glow, this light source, and then surrounding the light source are all of these illustrations, and they would be like carvings, maybe they would be masks, but there are these images that conceal the glow, and so we never actually see it, right? We don't see where what the light source is, or we can't see around these objects, these layers of concealment, and I was imagining, it's like, oh, what if, what if it's, say, the character wakes up and they're existing as this thing, so that they are the light source. And in a way, I've been attempting to get back to that. I keep putting the character in this position and going, what if the character is this experience of And right here it would be this experience of refusal and not going back. I have a kind of gruesome solution, and it's that they are actually they're not actually dead, but there's a quality of it that they've been buried, or that they're resting kind of like in an open grave. And there's, say, the symbolism of it, like it's been dug out, the grave has been dug, and they're lying in it, and perhaps wasting away as they dream, as they imagine this wonderful place, and say waking up and it's like, oh my gosh, right, I'm sort of like it's a living death, you know, that kind of thing. And two, where we're ending up with the journey is that was it freedom to live? I think that's the final stage. Moss, you're jumping ahead. Stop. Yeah, it's freedom to live. And I think that's part of it for me, is to, like, say, to go through this as I've been, and then thinking about this. And I don't know about you, but I have had that experience of, you know, it's a living death, you know, not being free to live. And so the conundrum of these stages, it's there. And it's like going, you know, ooh, I do like the arc, right? I do like where it ends up. But at the same time, I appreciate the opportunity to take things apart and, well, let's try it a different way. And what happens then? Can we take a look? And almost like going back to the stage with the atonement with the Father. So there's a couple stages back. And in that experience, there's the abyss. And this sort of like going through this nightmare, and it's almost like that never ended, and that there's this sort of paradise experience inside the nightmare, and then also there's this, yeah, so what was that, the apotheosis is inside the nightmare, there's this ultimate boon inside that experience, and then being unable to leave, there's a kind of nightmare quality that continues, and I'm sort of, say, thinking of this and going, yeah, this is the, you know, that's scary stuff, like that the terror of the abyss stage that hasn't left yet, you know, and it's still ticking away in the background. Which actually is an interesting sort of sound effect to plunk in there, that the adventurer hears the ticking of time, even though they are in paradise. And tick, tick, tick. He's like, what's that? Oh, don't worry about it. Here, you want another sip of ambrosia? Right? Enjoy. Tick, tick, tick. I keep hearing a ticking noise. It's your imagination. And then the fire trucks arrive. The adventurer, like, say, at this point, I'm a sucker for, like, say, personally, I want, and. I'm gunning for the freedom to live, you know, that's a great, you know, arc going on there. But it's also getting me thinking of the opposite, and just say, at the beginning, you know, the very beginning of the arc, of the adventure, and not being free to live, you know, feeling imprisoned, feeling, you know, even though being told, you know, like, look, and here's examples, and you're not oppressed, and that's something I. And two, you know, what is that? There is a question. All right, take care.